The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my southeast, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
Hi, good to be here.
Thanks for being here, and thanks to God that you are not in the southeast of the United States right now, which is a hotspot for the coronavirus.
Well, right. Yeah. Well, you know, welcome to scientific objective fact the hard way.
It's really interesting to read the news every day and not really see anything necessarily new. But the numbers are not playing very well, even in our state where we've got things clamped down fairly well, considering the rest of the country.
I think a lot better than a lot of other states because we have a governor who's, you know, paying attention to science and the facts. But, you know, I guess we should be glad the president hasn't sent his stormtroopers into Detroit yet, as he has in my hometown.
That's right. Portland. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate the text that you're sending about the wall of moms and the wall of dads. The wall of dads had their leaf blowers to blow the poison gas away from the protesters. And I think that that's awesome.
That's my favorite thing.
Cameras to catch what was happening too.
Absolutely.
So they couldn't cover up. Made signs that said Fathers Against Fascism. I love it. That's awesome.
Anytime a group of people show up and they've got coordinated t-shirts, like, I'm tuning in. That's all I got to say. Professor Stephen Manning is here from Political Science.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Are you more comfortable now, Stephen?
I'm trying to, you know.
Right before we got on, Stephen, we were conjecturing about the possibility of us all downloading the app to our phones and then just all being in separate cars during the Dream Cruise and just trying to do an entire episode.
Yeah.
But there's no Dream Cruise. We mean our own Dream Cruise.
Yeah. Professor Maggio, do you think there's going to be a Dream Cruise? Of course there
no,
is.
No, they can't. Well, they canceled any official, I think, sponsorship or activity, but you can't prevent everybody from driving up and down Woodward. If it gets too out of control, maybe they'll just close Woodward down like they usually do.
I am going to assume that's going to happen sometime relatively soon. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
can't stop.
So, even if they tried to do that, that would be as exciting as the Dream Cruise itself. So I'll still take my chair over to Woodward and watch the festivities.
A lot of it always took place kind of unofficially anyway, right?
Right.
I mean, in the early days, yes.
Yeah.
My kids equate that part of the cruise, considering literally the moment it starts to warm up, we start seeing people with their lawn chairs on Woodward. They equate it when they shut Woodward down as a fireworks show because they get to see the police rip off those flares, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of cool. Professor Heather Hill is here with us today. How's it going, Heather?
How are you, Matt and everyone?
Just living the life. What can I say?
I have a couple of monarch butterflies in my yard.
Does that mean that you have some milkweed in your gardens?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Most excellent. We actually saw one in our backyard a couple weeks ago. We definitely don't have any of that. And I was like, well, they're already up and moving. What can I say? Pretty interesting. Now, Professor Mara Livesey was actually out doing yard work, you said, before you came on to the show?
Oh, that's right. We're finishing up painting the back deck and cleaning out the garage, organizing, spraying it down.
It's kind of a big deal. You've brought that house from purchase to livability in a very short period of time.
Oh, you know, that's right. I mean, I'm not just going to be sitting here doing nothing. Also, I need a break from, like, you know, making course content.
Yeah, very good point. Professor Dave Chow is here with us today as well.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. Thanks for coming, Dave. All right. Show us what you sketched during our first recording session.
I'm just taking notes. Just this. That's all.
Okay.
Nothing scandalous yet.
No hedgehogs or anything?
No, Heather's birthday doesn't come up for another year, so I'm good.
That's right.
So we'll have to hold tight. So I'm just jealous that she's got monarchs. That's all.
Oh yeah.
We actually was it 3 weeks ago? We had 18 little caterpillars on our milkweed. Mm-hmm. The milkweed was getting decimated. And now we're down to zero.
Oh, that's too bad.
The birds may have gotten them.
Oh yeah. We are like the Robin and Cardinal Buffet over here right about now. All you can eat.
We are very happy to say that our academic vice president and provost, Professor Pam Zarkowski, is our guest panelist for today. Again, we're glad to have you, Pam.
And I am most honored. This is an esteemed group. And after our first recording, you know, your real estate has even gone higher.
We have real estate?
Yeah, it looks like you're at the lake house today. Yeah.
At the lake house. That's right.
Very nice.
I'll just say, Dave, you talked about having Robin and Cardinal, but we like to entertain all the deer. We kind of have a buffet for them. They like to eat everything I plant. So come to the, our buffet in the morning and just enjoy yourselves. They have cocktails on our deck. That's what I think they do.
Yes.
Afterwards, yeah.
Well, folks, depending on what your animals eat, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. Find us on our ever-growing Facebook group. Another few people added over the last week. Or listen to your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy.
Hey, Matt, did you introduce everybody? Did I just zone out there for a minute?
I thought I did. Did I miss someone?
Oh. Okay. The hour is definitely early tonight.
Okay. I just want to make sure everybody got their moment in the sun. You know, I guess I zoned out there on Zoom for a few minutes. I'm just, okay.
That's all right.
Thank you.
Did you get Beth? Did you miss Beth or get Beth?
I thought that I did Beth first. She was in the Southeast.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right.
I have been on Zoom since 7:30 a.m.
Oh. Whose fault is that?
So let's try this on for size. Dear Professor, with the political scene as volatile as it may have ever been, I wanted to lighten things up by coming up with a list of presidential nicknames. I hope you can use the questions and they can bring some cheer to your crew as much as they give a few laughs during such uncertain times. Warmest wishes from Valencia, California, our friend Frank Burrows. Thanks for sending these in, Frank.
So can I ask Steve a question? So that's an interesting introduction to that, the times that we are in. But to put that in perspective, are we really in unusual times, or has this been played out over and over again since the beginning of politics in this country? How is what we're experiencing now any different than how it has been? Is it really that different?
I would agree with you there, Dan. I think what's happening now isn't so different from what's happened before, but I think politics are more polarized.
What does the political scientist think?
Yeah,
they're certainly more polarized. Well, you know, one big question is if Trump loses, they're already talking about this. To what extent is this a kind of a permanent thing in our politics, or to what extent will we kind of like a rubber band snap back to something that resembles normality where people, actually talk to each other in a relatively civil way? You, I'm assuming you know what happened on the floor of the House yesterday for an hour. That's certainly unprecedented. It's an interesting question. Hopefully we'll, but we already see Republicans, not in droves, but some Republicans, opportunists that they are, leaving the president a little bit, disagreeing with the president on some basic issues, including the next rescue package.
Yeah,
the Lincoln Project's been pretty amazing too, as far as
stuff. I was going to mention the Lincoln Project.
Yep.
Yep.
Pretty interesting.
Led by, among others, Kellyanne Conway's husband, who was one of the first and remains one of the leaders of that group.
Right.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That is fascinating to me that's been a lot. I don't want to say it that way. Been allowed to go on. Makes you wonder what the real reality is when you see things like that you think should not exist.
I'd like to be on the fly on the wall in the Conway's cocktail hour and dinner.
Oh, your cocktail hour, yes. I thought you were going to
get another cocktail hour reference.
I know.
Well, we could say pillow talk. I mean,
we're going to list some presidential nicknames, and I'm going to be asking you for the president. The human iceberg.
Hoover.
Coolidge.
I would have thought it was Coolidge. I would have thought, but it's not Coolidge.
Taft?
Not
Wilson.
It's not Hoover? Human iceberg.
Run for behave.
I'm sorry, Lincoln? Pam, what was that?
Lincoln?
No, no. Although that kind of fits a little bit too.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, these initials are B.H.
Benjamin Harris.
It's an Harrison. Benjamin Harrison, yep. Harrison. I don't exactly know how that applies because all I really have are the matches here, but we have a political scientist, so I'm expecting, you know, Stephen to
figure
everything out here, you know. How about this one, Stephen? This one should get the train running again. How about the great engineer?
Wilson.
FDR.
Engineer.
You just said his name, Stephen.
FDR?
No, before your previous response.
Oh, Hoover.
Yeah, that's Herbert Hoover.
Really? Yep. He engineered quite a lot of bad stuff. How did he get that name?
He didn't say he was an engineer.
He built the dam, didn't he?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Jeez. I feel like I'm back in my freshman.
But he probably said, I don't give a damn, not build a damn.
Yeah. God, I'm going to miss it so much.
This next one I actually learned from Beth Oljar because we were talking quite a bit back in the Bush years, as in the W. Bush years. Do you remember which president, Beth, you had told me was nicknamed your fraudulency?
Nixon.
Someone who won a highly.
I told you that.
Yeah, you were the one saying that this president had that nickname because things were so wonky in the Electoral College. I just remember learning it from you.
Oh boy,
who's the president in the Teapot Dome scandal?
It said it was Hayes. It was Rutherford B. Hayes, who was the president in between the Clevelands. Is that right? Or was that Harrison?
You're asking too many questions, Matt.
You know, I've learned one thing about this show. It would behoove me to memorize the presidents in order. That would get me through a lot of questions on this show. Okay. So maybe that's a weekend project.
Dan, when we get back to the studio, we're putting up all the president's pictures on the wall behind us. That map doesn't help.
We seriously. Do you know how often I'm like, if I only knew the president's in order.
So Dan, when I was in middle school, I was given an extra credit assignment where I had to say all the presidents in order while holding a burning match.
No, really? Was that a nun that did that to you?
No, I went to public school.
How big was the match?
Can you do it now?
No.
How long? Was it one of those long matches?
Yeah.
It was a regular tiny match.
It wasn't a big.
And let me tell you, I got that extra credit. I did it.
Wow.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which each of the eight professors participating in this recording session were connecting to each other from different locations, thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
Okay, how about I throw you all a bone, and we'll get back on track, okay?
Okay.
At the time, he was referred to as the first black president.
Bill Clinton.
Yeah, that was Bill Clinton. Seems kind of silly looking back over that nickname, but was his nickname. Oh my gosh. How about King Mob? Kind of scary.
King Mob King Kennedy? Mob. No. Is that a reference to the mafia?
No, but, I don't know, actually.
We've never had a rap star as president.
Not yet.
Not a good one, at least.
King Mob.
King Mob.
That sounds like something radical Republicans would have called Lincoln, but maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, you're in the wheelhouse in terms of the right era, Beth. How about I just say the $20 bill?
Jackson.
That was Andrew Jackson. Yeah, it was King Mob, he was called.
Okay.
He's all right. Quite possibly one of the worst, well, no question, he's one of the worst presidents we've ever had.
There's a little bit of a clue in this one. How about 10 Cent Jimmy?
Carter.
Wait a minute.
James Madison? Jimmy. Is it Jim? Is it James?
Jimmy Carter.
James Polk.
Madison, Polk.
Oh, come on.
Come on, Mara. Up. You got it.
That match is burning fast.
No, I don't.
You literally named every James president except for the correct answer. And most people know him as the first only president that did not have a spouse during his term.
We just had this question, by the way, on another show.
Rutherford.
No, Dan's right. Who was it?
James Monroe?
Nope.
It's not Taft, is it?
No,
what's Taft's first name?
William.
William Taft. Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, William
Taft. Just like James.
With that?
William Howard.
No, it was James Buchanan.
Of course.
And I was this close to giving a Marvel Studios reference, as in Bucky Barnes, okay? James Buchanan Barnes. Mara would have gotten that.
Would have gotten that.
Same here.
Who is old Sinkerswim?
That sounds like Taft.
Yeah, I was going to say Taft.
Tyler.
Nope, you're going to have to go back quite a bit more.
This guy who couldn't swim?
Old, or he was so big he just placed all the water in the tub.
Quincy Adams? John Quincy Adams?
I'm going partial credit, Beth. It was the original, the OG. John Adams was old Sinkerswim.
I was going to say that. I really was.
The only other clue I had there is now that I've actually, because I could never afford to otherwise, seen Hamilton on Disney Plus, John Adams gets roasted quite a bit.
Oh, yes, he does.
Taken down.
Neither of the Adamses were reelected either.
That's right. That's right.
I still prefer Gomez. That's
a great miniseries. The miniseries with Paul Giamatti and Laura Linney on John Adams. It's amazing.
That was actually really good. How about the dude president? Dude, D-U-D-E.
Lebowski?
Yeah, right. The dude.
And what other answer is there for that question? Yeah. The dude.
I know so little about this president. The only other thing I know about him besides his name is that I think in his official portrait, he's got giganto mutton chops.
Oh. Van Buren? Mm-mm. No.
Has he been named yet on the show so far?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Tyler? Who haven't we mentioned?
Oh, I can see him right about now, but
France?
I just...
No, you said it's somebody that you don't know much about.
If we were around and we used like semi-standardized Western nicknames, we would probably call him Chet.
Chester A. Arthur.
Chester Arthur.
I was going to say, he plays center field for the Tigers?
He was the dude. He was the dude. Not Chet Lemon.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't help but say this. You could do the research to figure out the rest, but the people that I ran with when I was younger, my buddy used to do some prank calling, and his go-to prank call was pretending like he was Chet Lemon and calling people Tigers center fielder Chet Lemon from the 80s. Where is that coming from? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, and you said it was a friend of yours.
Friend. Chet Lemon. How about the Napoleon of Protection?
Wow.
So this was a short president?
That's a good, it has to be, doesn't it? Although I don't remember hearing that this person was rather short. Maybe I'm
Theodore Roosevelt? Theodore? No.
Monroe?
Madison was short.
Madison was short, yeah. Not like Hamilton.
Monroe was a protector, I suppose.
The initials here are W.M.
McKinley.
It was McKinley, yeah. William McKinley.
Mm-hmm. Look what happened to him.
No comment. All I can think about, as usual, is something from The Simpsons, where the joke is that Mr. Burns, the, you know, the miser, is so old that he already lived through McKinleynomics and, you know, whatever that even, you know, means. There's one more of these in the traditional way the question's being asked, and I think it's a pretty softball for people of our generation. Whose nickname was Poppy?
David Ortiz.
George H.W.
What was that, Beth?
George H.W. Bush was Poppy.
Yeah, H.W. That was Poppy. Yep, you got
actually, it. Actually, one of his nicknames was Rubbers because he was a huge, huge supporter of Planned Parenthood.
Wow.
Nice. True. Yeah.
So here are the bonus questions that came with the set. We have just enough time to do them, and it's actually kind of fun. These are the names assigned by the Secret Service to members of the presidential family, and they're relatively well-known ones. Whose Secret Service nickname was Coppertone?
Trump? Yeah, I would have guessed.
Yeah.
The presidential family members, their nicknames.
Who's again? Like Bobby Kennedy?
Was she tan or somebody that's
Betty
dark?
Betty Ford?
You know, I heard Kennedy. It was Rose Kennedy was the nickname of Coppertone. But I believe for the same reason. You may have heard this one before, too. Who was Starlight? Starlight. That's a fairly
good name. Was that Michelle Obama?
Mm-mm.
One of the kids? One hit Obama's kids?
No, this actually was First Lady.
Starlight.
Is that Michelle Obama?
Jackie Onassis?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Carolyn Candy?
Nope.
Laura Bush.
We can go down the list.
Starlight was Pat Nixon, for whatever reason. Pat Nixon.
Who was it?
Pat Nixon. Here's a very, very recent one. Who would be a presidential daughter? Who was Twinkle?
One of the Bush daughters, Barbara.
That's a 98% there, Beth. It's Jenna. Jenna Bush was Twinkle. Yes.
You're allowed to pick your own name, I wonder.
Pretty interesting stuff. Pretty interesting stuff.
Wow.
I successfully skipped over what this person is predicting Donald Trump's long-term nickname is going to be, and we'll come back to that in 20 years and see how history treats our current president here. So the time has come at the end of our show to go back to the list of ATP favorites. We've done our magazines. Here's a good one. We've never done this one before. What's your favorite place to go to that's a museum? I'll start us off by saying that after 15 years of my wife working at the Henry Ford, it's hard to go to any other museum, even awesome ones like Smithsonian, whatever, and not think about how unique the Henry Ford is and the fact that it's close to where we live. It's pretty interesting stuff. People just don't collect full-size locomotives like they used to.
You know, I beg your pardon, I'm saving up. I've got the yard for it.
Yeah, my answer would also be nostalgic. So growing up as a kid, we always went to the Detroit Institute of Arts, and I just remember the sets of armor, just like as a kid, always loving just going there and looking at those sets of armor.
You know, if you try to put one on, they get really mad.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mine might be, Pam, you would know this too, in Istanbul,
mm-hmm.
right? That they have now turned into a... It's both a museum and a mosque, but it's on the world heritage, what's that called? World Heritage List?
Yep. As yeah, the museum. Sophia. Right. The
Sophia Hagia, and it's now turned into a, Erdogan has turned it into a, back into a mosque.
That's right.
People can still go in there, but it's a very, very politicized decision for him to make. That was beautiful. That's been in the news a lot lately. I've seen pictures of it that brought back our visit to that.
Good time. Yeah. Well, I'll add, I like the Motown Museum, and I can't wait to see it when it's redone. That was, I like all the museums you've mentioned, but I'll throw that one in Detroit.
That's a great one. At Woodward and the Boulevard.
I would say, besides all the Detroit museums, the British Museum of Natural History is very good in London. So I just remember that. It's a good experience.
Something that pops into my head, and I haven't been there in a long time, is the National Gallery of Art in Washington.
It's a great,
it's a beautiful building. On the either side of it, there are these rotunda, and they always have beautiful flowers and also solarium.
Heather, you make me think of every time I have to go to what we in chemistry call the mothership, which is the American Chemical Society World Headquarters, which, by the way, is across the street from Jesuit of the Americas in Washington. My wife always asks to tag along, totally abandoning me for the entire trip and just going museum to museum on her own, since, of course, that's her line of work. And the National Gallery is definitely very high on her list.
Hey, Leslie.
You're not using 11-6 funds for that, are you?
Absolutely not. Well, not during the pandemic. Come on.
Yeah, we can't leave.
I don't think we've heard from Beth or Dave quite yet.
Well, I'm with Pam. I really loved the Motown Museum and seeing the part of the floor that's worn away from when the engineers were keeping the beat in the DIA, but there's a museum in Oregon called OMSI, which is the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry, that was a big hit when I was growing up.
Very
cool. It was
cool.
Really cool.
Okay. I'm down to three. MoMA in New York.
Of course.
The Royal Tyrell in Drumheller, Alberta, which is a great dinosaur museum. It's actually a working lab. And Matt, you might agree with me on this one. Marvin's Mechanical, you know, out on Orchard Lake.
Oh, Marvin's Marvelous Mechanical
Museum. Yes, yeah.
Absolutely.
So all the pinball games. Oh, so I can't wait for that to open. So.
Yes, someday.
Soon.
I'm afraid we've used up all the time we have for today, so the time has come to say goodbye, Beth.
Bye.
Stephen.
Goodbye, everyone. Stay safe.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Heather.
Bye.
Mara.
Bye.
Dave.
See ya.
And Pam.
Goodbye. Wear a mask.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in all of our lakes and libraries and basements, and we're not in the Briggs Building, I can tell you that, but we are out of the College of Liberal Arts and Education at University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. We're produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Till next time, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.